Hi, my name is Mario Franco, and this is episode 396 of EdTech Alpha Minute. In our effort to promote the work of the United Nations in what concerns the AI and sustainable development, especially related to education, today we go to share one audio from an interview from Anshu Sharma to Amadeep Gill, who is the United Nations Special Envoy for Digital and Emerging Technologies, specially focused on the maturity framework of United Nations for AI and how the countries can joint this new technology in such a way, then give them also an important role and sovereignty in their way, in their path to include or to integrate AI technology in their development strategies.
The following clip is produced by the United Nations and shared for educational purposes.
This is Conor Lennon from UN News. India's AI Impact Summit, the first of its kind in the Global South, is underway in New Delhi, and the United Nations has a significant presence with over 30 side events planned over the week. The main message from the UN is that access to and development of AI tools needs to be democratized beyond the handful of major economies that are currently driving the technology. Amandeep Gill, the UN Special Envoy for Digital and Emerging Technologies, is attending the summit, where he will discuss the UN's central role in AI governance. He told Anshu Sharma from UN News that managing the risks and harnessing the opportunities needs to involve everyone, not just a small elite.
We see this summit as contributing to building greater inclusion, especially from the Global South, in these conversations. And as you know, the United Nations is the most inclusive forum in the world. So in July, we'll have the first global dialogue on AI governance. So these are all streams feeding now into a mighty river of inclusion and of a collective effort to shape the AI future.
So there are also concerns that AI could deepen global inequalities. How can we ensure developing countries are actually co-creators of AI and they're not left behind?
By investing massively in AI capacity building around the world. The Secretary General has presented a report with innovative voluntary financing options for AI capacity building, including a global AI fund of up to $3 billion with investments going into 80-90 countries, most at risk of getting left behind. And at the same time, he suggested a network of AI capacity building centers from around the world collaborating together in a network distributed manner to help train people, build the human capacity, to build data sets, to mutualize, to share scarce compute resources, and to also build up the use cases that can be shared through this network of AI applications in agriculture, in education, and health. So by that effort, concentrated, urgent effort, we can ensure that most parts of the world have the capacity to at least absorb AI, tune it, develop it in their own context, apply it in their own context. Not everyone is going to be making frontier, cutting-edge AI, and that's not the point of the Secretary General's report, but it's important both from a moral necessity perspective, but also from a practical perspective to involve all of humanity in AI's opportunities, AI's development.
When you're talking about involve all of humanity, we also talk about women and AI. So where do we stand globally when it comes to women in terms of representation, in terms of leadership and opportunity?
In the AI space, women are definitely very much underrepresented. So when you look at AI science, when you look at AI companies, when you look at investment funding going into AI companies. So women are definitely not in a good place. However, there are some encouraging signs, especially in terms of talent and women driving the science of AI in areas where there is an urgent need on behalf of humanity. So you have exciting work being led by women in terms of safety assessments, linguistic diversity, open source AI models. So my point is there is huge potential, which we see clearly in many areas. We need to develop that potential further.
There are also growing concerns about misinformation, about bias, and even security risks. So what kind of guardrails do you think are needed to contain these?
This is an issue that was highlighted in the Global Digital Compact adopted at the UN's Summit of the Future in 2024. The Secretary General had presented a policy brief on the integrity of public information, which includes this aspect of misinformation, disinformation. So there's an effort at the UN. There are now efforts underway at the national level in tackling this. Of course, it's a complicated conversation because freedom of speech, the extent to which you can regulate content on digital platforms, that's a sensitive subject where, you know, countries have different approaches. But I think the UN can play a role in bridging these different approaches, aligning them with fundamental human rights and with the need to protect our democracies, protect fundamental rights, including the right of access to information that is pollution-free, that is manipulation-free, that allows citizens to make up their minds and participate in political processes from a well-informed perspective.
If we talk about climate, we are in a climate emergency and AI is expanding rapidly. Do you see AI as a genuine climate solution, or could its rising energy demand ultimately worsen the crisis?
True that AI is creating a pull on energy demand, demand for water, for cooling of data centers, and also demand on materials. It's so ironic that something that is, in a sense, at a very high level of abstraction, still relies so much on our physical world. So it's a concern that we now have new sources of strain when it comes to, you know, energy, for example. And equally concerning is the fact that some of these data centers are relying on quick fixes, on burning methane gas, for example, to get going. At the same time, I believe there is huge potential from AI that helps us figure out point sources of emissions, helps us to optimize heating of buildings, for example, other ways in which energy is consumed, develop new processes, industrial processes that act as less of a drain in terms of, let's say, you know, whether it's cement manufacturing or fertilizer manufacturing. So in a sense, the jury is still out, and we would need deliberate effort that keeps a central focus on the triple planetary crisis: climate change, environment, biodiversity.
We've seen that often large AI projects get a lot of attention and they get the spotlight. What about the smaller AI solutions? And they're making real change. Like, for example, we have in India the UPI transactions, and they have really transformed the entire digital structure here. So do you think it's time to shift the focus on smaller AI solutions rather than only the bigger ones?
Small is beautiful in this case. Small language models that are less energy intensive, that can sit on edge devices, that can be tuned in context with local, diverse, high quality data sets, are the answer to many of our challenges in the SDGs space. So we are meeting here in India at the AI Impact Summit, and SLMs, the small language models, are being developed in many parts of the SDGs challenge by entrepreneurs in India. So this is a very encouraging sign. And from a UN perspective, we would like to see more of this. This would help us build a more diverse, democratized ecosystem for AI innovation.
Why is it important for the United Nations to play a central role in shaping global AI norms? What real leverage does the UN have to influence how AI is built and deployed?
The UN is the only forum where every country has a seat at the table. The UN is the only forum with a corpus of international law. It's the Secretary General is the repository of international law. So over hundreds of years, we've built up this corpus, this legacy of humanity, whether it's international humanitarian law, human rights law, commitments on gender, environment, and so on. So AI governance can be anchored in these norms, can be anchored in this inclusivity. And I dare say in recent months and years, we have shown that the UN can adapt to the demands on agility that the governance of these technologies imposes. So the Global Digital Compact negotiated for the Summit of the Future, the work of the High-Level Advisory Body on AI, the recent decisions on the scientific panel, the Global Dialogue on AI Governance. So UN has responded in a very agile way to this challenge. UN brings real value to the governance discussion, not in a top-down manner, but in a horizontal and inclusive manner, facilitating international learning of best practices, costly lessons to avoid, and in a sense, bringing everyone together on this journey so that we can maximize the opportunities, avoid the opportunities being grabbed by only a handful of countries or a few companies, and also avoid a situation where the risks are unfairly loaded on to a few countries.
But AI is progressing so rapidly. What is the progress so far? How soon do you think these guardrails will be in place?
The progress has been very impressive. So the UN has moved with speed in response to this challenge. From the time of the development of an ethics framework by UNESCO to the AI for Good summits that are hosted by the ITU, the work on lethal autonomous weapons. And now we have a comprehensive framework through the Global Digital Compact for the governance of AI. And following the decisions in the Global Digital Compact, two concrete mechanisms have been created. The International Independent Scientific Panel on AI, 40 experts, they'll help us ground policy in science, in real-world evidence, and a global dialogue on AI governance, where every country will be able to share their experience of governing AI, and we'll have better interoperability. And in a sense, we will avoid those, gaps, dark spaces where governance guardrails are absent. I mean, the challenge is huge. So these are just initial steps, but I'm sure that we made a promising start.
So if you look 5 years into the future, what does success look like? And conversely, what is the scenario that worries you the most if global cooperation on AI fails?
5 years from now, I'd like to see more countries with the capacity to govern AI, to develop AI with their own talent, with their own data sets, with their own digital infrastructure. 5 years from now, I would also like to see more coherence across governance efforts. There is a risk that governance gets fragmented. So through the global dialogue, through the work of the scientific panel, we can bring about more coherence in those efforts. And most importantly, I like to see a greater connection with the international agenda, the multilateral agenda that has been adopted at the UN, whether it's the Sustainable Development Goals framework, so AI that actually advances the SDGs, gets us closer to the 2030 goals and beyond, and AI that also helps us maintain respect for human rights and promote peace and security. So all our three pillars of work at the UN benefiting from AI application.
What are your expectations from the AI Impact Summit?
That multilateralism gets strengthened, that international collaboration gets strengthened, and that we adopt a more balanced approach to governing AI, addressing some of the risks, but also addressing some of the missing capacity that's there to both harness the opportunities and address the risks.
You've just listened to a clip produced by the United Nations, shared here for educational purposes.
I hope you enjoy this episode. And we have in our webpage, which the link is in the description of this episode, one page dedicated completely to the maturity framework of AI from the United Nations and other links related to this interview. Then I hope this will be useful. And if you are interested, please come to our website. You can download the document of the United Nations. The link is there and, of course, is free. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you in our next episode.